A little bit out of the norm because of the Christmas season. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 36, going to verse 38. You can read it behind me, and let's stand and read the Word of God. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And the woman was now, a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Let's be seated. Pastor, it's all yours.
Thank you, Bruce, and thank you, Jackie. Lovely rendition. Mary, did you know? Well, sometimes it's helpful to get a clean, fresh perspective on things, and certainly Christmas is one of those things. It becomes routine. The simplicity of what Christmas is all about kind of gets warped in our thinking because of all the extra fa-la-la that is surrounding it. And one of the ways to gain a new perspective is to see things, see life through the eyes of a child. Children have a way of just seeing things that are fresh and new. And I ran across something called Letters Written to God by little guys and little girls. I'd like to read a couple of short little Dear Gods to you from little ones, okay? Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in church. Is that okay? Neil. Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones that you got right now? It's a new perspective, right? That's from Jane. Dear God, I think the stapler is one of your greatest inventions. It's Ruth who appreciates the stapler. This is my favorite from Larry. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with my brother. And finally, dear God, I am an American. What are you? Yeah, little kids have a way of seeing things, giving us perspective, and that's good. And sometimes I think we need new perspective, or maybe it's old perspective when it comes to Christmas, to really enjoy it fully. What are some perspectives on Christmas that can help us to really enjoy it? What are some perspectives that can help us to see things through fresh eyes when it comes to Christmas and what it's truly about? Well, Luke chapter 2, through the life of Anna, beginning in verse 36, we see how we can enjoy life, enjoy Christmas from a fresh perspective. I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 36, the not often talked about believer during the time of Christ named Anna. Lord Jesus has been born. And he's been presented to God. He's been circumcised. And Anna was in the mix here. And let's look and see what made this very first Christmas, the very first seeing of the Messiah from her eyes, something very special. Number one, seek the Lord fervently like Anna did. Seek the Lord fervently. Verse 36 of Luke chapter 2. Now, there was one Anna, a prophetess. Now that's a very rare person in the Bible. A prophetess. There aren't many prophetesses in the Bible. Lots of prophets, lots of apostles. But she was a special gal. She was a woman who proclaimed divine truth from God. Very rare person in biblical times, both Old and New Testament. So she's a special gal, a prophetess. She was the daughter of Phanuel. That is a transliteration from the Hebrew word, which literally means the face of God. She was the daughter of someone who apparently saw the face of Almighty God. She had a godly heritage. She was a godly woman with a godly heritage. She was of the tribe of Asher, generally considered one of the more popular tribes, but God raised her up from the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age. Yeah, she was an older gal. And it says that she lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. Literally in the Greek, it's interesting. She lived up to 84 years. And so that means one of two things. Either she was 84 years at this time when she heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, or she had been a widow for 84 years. It's one of the two. So she was either 84 years old at this time and had been a widow for about 60 years, or she was in her early 100s and she had been a widow for 84 years. Either way, she had been a widow for at least 60 years, either around 60 or 84. So she had been a widow for many, many years. And the text tells us that she just didn't sit around doing nothing. No, she lived in the temple. She did not depart from the temple of God, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She did not depart from the temple. And the idea there is there were apartments, let's call them apartments, in the temple and the outer courts of the temple. And apparently she was kind of like a church rat. She was a temple rat. And they gave her an apartment full time to live there in the temple, because she was there continually serving the Lord. So they said, let's just give her an apartment on the outer court of the temple. In 1 Timothy 5 introduces her and really describes her to me. She was a 1 Timothy chapter 5 kind of gal, a 1 Timothy 5 widow. She was one, verse 5 of 1 Timothy 5, who is really a widow and left alone, who trusts in God and continues in supplication and prayers day and night. She was a widow who was a very godly gal. She was one who trusted God for her provision. She trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. She did not do what your typical young widow would have done, and she was a young widow for sure. For 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14 tells us, "Therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house." She didn't do that. She didn't get remarried. She stayed single all those years. And what she did was seek the Lord fervently. She wasn't just hanging loose with the extra time she had as a single gal. Seeking the Lord's a good thing to do all the time, isn't it? In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, seek the Lord and his face. Seek his face continually. Now, this season, next season, forever. Both here and in heaven, seek the Lord continually. 1 Chronicles 16:11. "When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto you, your face I will seek." And so, Psalm 27, verse 8. So when we seek God, it's because he first has initiated the seeking. We never seek him on our own. He always stimulates it. His Holy Spirit is always the one that's getting us going to want to seek him. So he even gets the credit for that. In Jeremiah chapter 29, and I invite you to turn to Jeremiah 29, when we talk about some verses regarding seeking the Lord, Jeremiah 29 certainly is in there. Jeremiah 29, verse 12. We know verse 11. I know the thoughts that I think to you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you future and a hope. Verse 12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. So the search for God, when we search for God, we're panting after God, it is a successful search. He's not playing hide and go seek. It will be a successful search. And so the idea is, if we're seeking God and we're searching for God and we're doing that during the course of the calendar year, when Christmas comes, we will be seeking God and we will be searching God like we always do, and we will meet God, and that's what makes Christmas special, when we meet God. What makes vacation special? When we don't vacate from God. What makes relationships special? Well, when we have the Lord in common in that relationship. What makes birthdays special? Well, when we celebrate the birthday, the Lord is somebody that we're communing with, and it's not all about ourselves. What makes Christmas special and fresh? When we're seeking the Lord and we're experiencing the Lord, because that's what we were created for. Anna spent a lifetime seeking the Lord, so when she heard about the Lord Jesus, she was pretty excited, because she was always excited about the Lord, because that's who she was seeking to commune and fellowship with. Second thing that we see from the life of Anna, not only should we seek the Lord fervently, but we should serve the Lord faithfully. Serve the Lord faithfully, verse 37. This woman was a widow of about 84 years. We talked about that. Who did not depart from the temple. She had this temple apartment that we talked about earlier. So she was always there in the temple. But she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. So what did she do in the temple all of these years? Well, she wasn't watching TV. She wasn't playing fantasy football and watching her fantasy football teams, and she wasn't getting her hair done. No, she was. She served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Now, prayer and fasting, when we pray and fast, we're basically humbling ourselves before God. Have you ever noticed how hungry you can get when you're really hungry? And when we fast and pray, that is the humbling thing. It's like, I thought I was tougher than this. And it is very humbling. And it shows our dependence upon God. And it shows God also, it expresses to God that I'm really serious about the things that I'm praying for. I'm really serious about this, Lord. I'm spending extra time praying, time that I would spend eating. Instead of eating, I'm praying. And so this is how she chose to serve the Lord while she was in the temple area. She fasted and prayed day and night. So she did it frequently, is what that language means. In Nehemiah chapter 1, it's kind of fun. Those of you who are reading through our Bible reading thing, we read Nehemiah chapter 1 this morning. And believe me, I did not plan that. But Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah finds out that Jerusalem is not doing well. The walls are down. Its gates are burned with fire. And he has a heart for Jerusalem. And so, well, let me just read it. Verse 3. The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress. The people are distressed. They are experiencing reproach. That is, they're being insulted by their enemies. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. And he is just distraught when he hears this. So it was when I heard these words, I sat down and I wept. And I mourned for many days, and I was fasting and praying before the Lord God of heaven. I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please hear my prayer. I want to do something about this sad, sad condition of Jerusalem. And so he expressed his heartfelt desires through prayer and fasting. in Matthew chapter 17. I just want to show that when Anna did this, she was serving the Lord fervently and faithfully. This was something that showed that she was all in her service to God. Matthew chapter 17. Kind of another heart-wrenching story in Matthew chapter 17. It's with our Lord and the apostles, and you've got this father who's distraught because his son keeps getting thrown in the fire and in the water because he's demon-possessed. Put yourself in his shoes. Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic. He suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire, often into the water. And so when I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him, they were powerless. Verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately, and they said, why could we not cast it out, it being the demon? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. That was your first problem. You really didn't believe. You really didn't have faith to believe what was going to happen. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. You didn't have any faith. And number two, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And so praying is good, but you needed to do something to move the hand of God and the power of God even more. You needed to not just pray, you needed to pray and fast. It just, again, just to show that there's extra power, there's extra heartfelt service. We're giving more out when we pray and fast, even more so than when we pray. And so she served the Lord faithfully, and she served the Lord fervently. And she did it day and night. So in other words, that's language for she did it throughout the year. And so when we are serving the Lord faithfully throughout the year, to worship him on Christmas is as natural as breathing. Celebrating his birth is as natural as breathing. If that's what we're doing day after day, week after week, month after month, we bump into December 25th. Of course we're going to worship the Lord. We've been serving him and we've been connected with him all year long. So we don't have to try to stir it up. Seek the Lord fervently. Serve the Lord faithfully. And Christmas will be all that it should be when it rolls around. Number three, Hannah and we can share the Lord freely. Share the Lord freely. Notice what she did in verse 38. And coming in that instance. What instant? Well, if we just go back a few verses there. Verse 27 of Luke 2. So he, that's Simeon, came by the Spirit. The Spirit of God led him into the temple. And when the parents brought in Christ Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and he blessed God. He said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. And so Simeon had been told by God that he would not pass away, he would not die until he saw the Lord's Messiah. And he saw the Lord's Messiah, and he told people that he did. And one of the people that he told was Anna. And then Anna, according to our text, she began telling other people. Notice who she told. And coming in that instance, when Simeon had done his thing and held the baby Jesus, she gave thanks to the Lord. And she spoke of him, Anna did, to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Interesting. The people that she particularly singled out were people who already were anticipating that the Messiah would come and set the Jews free politically from Rome and spiritually from the bondage of Satan. She told everybody who were already genuinely believers, this is what happened. Simeon came in and he held this baby, and Simeon said that this baby is the Messiah. And he said that the Lord told him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And Simeon said this was the Messiah. And so Anna went and she told everybody who already believed and who were looking for the Messiah to come to redeem, that is, set the people free from political and spiritual bondage. She told all of them about it. And it's interesting, and we should share the good news, of course, if we have an opportunity with people who don't know the Lord. We should do that. But we should be a blessing, and we should share with people who already do know the Lord. And that's what Anna did. The King is born who will set us free politically, spiritually, and she spread that news. And I'm sure it was a blessing for people to hear it. I mean, we've never been under the bondage or under the thumb of a foreign country. I'm sure people were delighted to hear that and delighted to hear that spiritual redemption was coming as well. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for whatever things were written before, Old Testament things, were written for our learning, that we through the patience or the perseverance and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. When we share spiritual truths with people, it gives people perseverance. It helps them to hang in there. It gives them comfort when they need comfort, and it gives people hope. These people got perseverance and comfort, and they got hope when they heard Anna's message about the Messiah was held in Simeon's arms. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I find myself praying this prayer more and more frequently. It's not a prayer, but you can turn any scripture into a prayer, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Why? Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it. Not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in those who believe. The word of God will effectively work in those who believe. And so she shared with people who already believed, and it gave them comfort. It gave them hope. It helped them to hang in there during the hardship of being under Roman rule and just the hardships of everyday life. And so certainly we want to talk about the normal things that we talk about at Christmas, right? At the Christmas table. We talk about how good the food is, and talk about your Ohio State Buckeyes. And talk about how much you love and appreciate Pastor Joe. Talk about all these things. But don't forget to share a good verse that you read in the Bible. Don't forget to share about an answered prayer that you'd received. Don't forget to share how God has worked in your life or somebody else's life. Don't forget to share things about God at work and truths about himself revealed in his word with people, particularly with those who believe, and it will be refreshing to them and it will be refreshing to you. It's always a blessing to be a blessing, right? It's always a blessing to be a blessing. So at the Christmas table, in addition to those incredibly important things I talked about, talk about the things of the Lord, something that God has done in your life. And that will help keep Christmas fresh, as it's a new perspective for you and me. Lord, we are grateful for the example of Anna, that very, very first Christmas. a godly woman who did godly things, who was a godly and a good example. And Father, she didn't have as many things pulling at her that we do. We have a lot of things distracting us and pulling us, and we have extra traditions that make it difficult for us to enjoy the simplicity of God becoming a man so that he could live a perfect life, so that he could die on our behalf, so that we could be freed from our sins, so that we could worship you and know you and live for you. Lord, all that is kind of hard to embrace, kind of hard to celebrate. So help us to seek you fervently all year long. Help us to serve you faithfully all year long. And help us, Lord God, to share you freely, to be a blessing to others. Certainly those who don't know you, but those who know you will be blessed because your word works effectively in those who believe. So Lord, bless us as we try to be a blessing. Thank you for each person here. Grant us a great holiday. We would love to see you show up, Father, in our lives so that we know that you worked in us and through us and around us. Make Christmas special because you are part of it. We ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.